again, this animal that represents the offer. Let me be yours. You know, make me yours. I offer, I give myself to you. So the sacrifice is worship, a prayer, a response of faith. And we see it's a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And we know that this has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Right? The true sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, without blemish, without sin. The atonement for our sins, the means of our sanctification by the Holy Spirit. The burnt offering, look to Jesus. It's not our blood, but it's the blood of Christ. It's not water that washes our entrails, but it's the Holy Spirit and fire. So Paul says in Romans 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And I think Paul, you know, sees it here, that the sacrifices that the Jews made in the Old Testament, it's pointing to this. Us giving our lives, our bodies as a living sacrifice. How do we worship? By living in holiness, in a way that is acceptable to God. This is our worship, that we live in holiness, in a way that is acceptable and pleasing to God. Being holy is how we worship God. I do hope that you see a little more this beautiful union of the Bible. It just blew my mind. It's so amazing. It's so exciting to see more of God in this way. We're at the heart of the message of the Bible. There's the same truth and gospel, the same promise, right? The same promise. God has brought near sinful people, and He's making them holy, so that we do not offend Him. We do not dirty Him. Now, it's not like the Mona Lisa where we destroy it by our touch, but we can worship Him. This is not going to be worship. Our living in holiness. So, you know, we Christians today can be encouraged and challenged by meditating on Leviticus. It's the same truth. It's the same truth. So I talked mostly about holiness. I haven't really talked about loving your neighbor, but I did want to set this ground of holiness first. We cannot love, you know, true love. It's not possible. The love that true love, as according to the Bible, is not possible with holiness, without holiness. We've talked about, you know, what is holiness. We've talked about the purpose of Leviticus, God teaching us what holiness is. But how can we connect holiness and loving our neighbor? It's there in the passage, right? It begins with, you shall be holy as I am holy. And then it ends with, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, because I am the Lord. Again, we have to think and meditate to understand. Now, when we go back to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9, as you read these commands, they're focused more on the wrongs that people do to each other in order to benefit themselves. Right? You steal, you oppress, you commit injustice. It's not, the assumption is you're not doing just for the sake of these things, but you have something to gain. And God is addressing these actions that people take to harm others and benefit themselves. When we define holiness, one of the aspects we looked at was perfection. We described holiness we define perfection as something abundant, alive. It's not fragile. It's not needing to be taken care of like the Mona Lisa. The holiness of God is life-giving holiness. Or it's a holiness that makes us holy. It infuses us with life. It makes us holy. God describes Himself as a Lord who sanctifies us. So again, we can't be casual with the holiness of God. You can't take it wholly. I mean, you can't take it lightly. You know, it will destroy you. It will destroy you on the judgment day. But at the same time, God is working to save a people for Himself. God is working to draw near to Himself sinful, unworthy people, even in the Old Testament, but you know, ultimately accomplished through Jesus Christ. And this perfect holiness of God, right, this abundant, incredible life is working on our behalf. It's working for our good. Right, all this power, his compassion, his wisdom, all this that is governed by his holiness is working for our good. And so God, in saying in these commands in Leviticus 19, right, he's saying don't abuse and abuse others for your own benefit because I am taking care of you. Right, in saying I am holy, God is saying you don't have to do these things because I'm going to take care of you. It's not just the idea of don't sin because I'm going to be angry, but it's also this promise of don't do this because I will take care of you, right? It's not a simple matter of you do something bad, you're going to be punished. If you do something good, you're going to be rewarded. But why you do something matters. If you believe in doing the right thing, but you don't believe you need the divine power of God to make you right, then your righteousness means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. But believing that you need the divine power of God to sanctify you, right? To reach you in your entrails, in your inmost being, not just in your head. Or does your heart and your soul cry out to God from the depths of your being for holiness in your life, that you may know God's holiness, to be filled with the life of God? Do you really believe, again, in your entrails, in your heart and your soul, that he is willing and able to do this? Are you able to rejoice in the holiness of God? Right, it's all connected. Are you able to rejoice in the holiness of God? Love for your neighbor has to be motivated and sustained by the holiness of God. Only by God's perfection, only by his abundant life poured out on your behalf, are we able to love one another in a manner that glorifies God. But only by God filling in us, pouring out in us, are we able to do this. But the fact of how we treat others, or in Leviticus 19, abusing and using other people, it shows that you do not believe in this perfect holiness of God, the sufficiency of who God is. The reason God helps us is so that his holiness will be magnified. He wants to show all creation just how perfect, how unique, how pure he is. And because of God's commitment to his own holiness, we can be confident in God's promise to help us, to provide for us. As Dr. Hafman says in his book, God of Promise, God's commands are promises in disguise. Right, what God commands us to do, he's promising he will do for us, or he will promising to enable us to do. Right, if God doesn't help us, he doesn't get the glory, and his promises are shown to be empty. If God doesn't help us, it shows that his holiness is not sufficient, that he is not perfect. But he is perfect. He is sufficient. And so he will help us. Likewise, if you don't love your neighbor, again, if you don't love your neighbor, it shows that you don't rejoice in God's holiness, or you don't trust God, you don't believe that God can meet your every need perfectly, according to his perfection. And once you believe you have to take care of yourself, that's why, you know, people were prone, well, even now, you know, that we are prone to do these things, to abuse other people, or to, even in our words, so that we can get that little sense of feeling better about ourselves, to put people down, or insult people, make it like a joke. But in that sense, we feel better about ourselves. And when we sin, we're finding more pleasure in something else than God. We're saying that God's holiness is not that good. It's not that satisfying. We want something else. Loving our neighbor is worship. It's a response of faith to the holiness of God. Where you respond, God's holiness is good, God's holiness is sufficient. God's, you know, he's pouring out life and all I need so I can love others. worship and faith. So if you, you know, on your own time, if you're reading the rest of Romans 12, or I also made it part of the devotional for morning QT. But if you read the rest of Romans 12, you know, Paul says, live a holy life. And then he goes into command, or live a holy life because it's worship. And then he also goes into love your neighbor. Love others. We don't just worship God with praise songs or prayer, but by loving our neighbor, worship, responding to God with faith. So we just, you know, talked about what is the connection between holiness and loving your neighbor. Right, holiness being sufficient, if you really believe that, if you really know that, it frees us, it propels us to love others. Just the way God graciously loves sinners, and we become transformed in the heart of God, in the image of God, we become like God. We want to share his holiness so that we can glorify him in this way. So there's this connection between God's holiness and we respond in love for others. But what does it actually mean to love your neighbor as yourself? Well, first, when we say neighbor, we see in verse 18 that God means primarily fellow members of the people of God. You know, so fellow Christians. Fellow Christians are the primary target of this command, but not the only target, but it's the primary target. But loving one another doesn't mean simply being nice and friendly. Though, you know, it's a part of it, but it's not simply, or it's not the main part. Right? Love is not being nice and friendly. We got to go beyond that. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. It's a hope that you have to see fellow Christians growing in deeper love for God. And I do want to ask you to examine yourself. Like, when you think about your relationship with people, or the people that you love, do you have this deep longing? Or do you have this joy at the thought of seeing your fellow brothers and sisters growing in deeper faith and love for God? Right? Does it, when you think about your fellow brothers and sisters growing in joy in God, does that give you joy? Or when you think about your fellow brothers and sisters growing in hope, not being anxious or less anxious, right, does that give you joy? Does that in your entrails respond with bless the Lord? And again, that joy, you know, does that, again, cause you to do what you can to encourage others to more faith? I think we should be praying to grow in this kind of love for one another. We can't do everything for everyone. Right, we're not supposed to drain ourselves dry for the sake of other people. Right, that's not the love that God has in mind. God is the one who does everything for everyone. God is the one who pours out himself for others. But as he meets us, we're just, you know, pointing to him. As he meets us, we give what little we have to others as pointing to him. But if your understanding of love is, you know, just, you know, being nice or putting up with people, right, that's not a love that's motivated and sustained by the holiness of God. That is not a love that's been captured or amazed by the holiness of God. So we have to ask God to show him his holiness. Ask God to give us a real love for others. And, you know, we're not perfect, so we have to grow in this love. We have to grow in this. Asking God to help us to grow in this. So the first application I have is that we have to know the holiness of God. We have to continue to grow in the holiness of God. The more we know, the more we rejoice in who God is and in his perfection, in his uniqueness, in his purity. As we become, you know, holy, as we see this holy God, then we will grow in the ability to love, or grow in what is true biblical love. I don't think you can summarize the holiness of God in the sermon, but it is something that God reveals to us over time, more deeply, in his word and his prayer. Again, as we meditate on Leviticus 1, and what are burnt offerings, what does it mean? You know, as we meditate on his word, we can know God more. So second, we have to grow in holiness. Right? Our lives have to reflect more and more the holiness of God. As you know how good and perfect He is, it changes it. It opens our eyes, and we want to know more. We don't flee from sin for the sake of fleeing from sin, but we flee from sin because we want to know more of God. Because we want to grow in dedicating ourselves as living sacrifices. Because we want to grow in a heart of worship. And so we have to fight to, you know, cast down the things that make the holiness of God small in our eyes. Again, some of these are good things, like family and friends, school, marriage, a job. But sometimes these things seem better than God. We don't understand these things as a way of magnifying the holiness of God. Until these things become just another a prop to hold up the holiness of God, our schoolwork, our marriage, our desire for marriage, or our jobs, right? These things, how can the holiness of God be reflected in these aspects of our lives? Until we come to an understanding of that, we have to continue to struggle with them. It is an idol in that sense. Third, we have to grow in a love that's beyond politeness and a love that is passionate, that is committed to fellow Christians, right, to help them to grow in intimacy and love for God. Right, there's a reason why loving your neighbor is the second greatest commandment. It is the fullest expression of faith. Loving your neighbor is the fullest expression of worshiping God. Loving your neighbor is the fullest expression of loving God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, without love we're nothing. All that we do amounts to nothing in God's eyes. It is not pleasing to Him. It is not worship if we don't have love. Without love, even dying for others doesn't mean anything. Or John says in 1 John, if you don't love your brother, you don't love God. Or you don't really know God. But as we grow in love for others, which is a response, again, of worshiping God, we'll grow in knowing this joy, knowing excitement at the thought of fellow Christians growing in faith in God. So I want to encourage you to ask God to give you that kind of heart. Loving your neighbor is like a spiritual or supernatural revelation. I'm still thinking about this. I don't know if this is correct. Maybe you guys can think about it too. But I'm thinking like love your neighbor is like a supernatural divine revelation, right? I think it has to be a vision. Okay, I guess I'm using that too broadly. But I'm saying it's not just mere moralism. Like it's not just, okay, I have to do this. But if it's just simple right and wrong, you're going to grow bitter, right, that you're sacrificing. It is not a love that is rooted or growing from faith in God. You're not pouring out what God is pouring into you. You're just giving what you have in yourself, or things that you're proud of, or things that you trust in yourself to do. I want to encourage you to ask God to show you the beauty and the wisdom of the body, which is the most greatest expression of God's holiness. Right? God making sinful people holy, that is the greatest expression of His holiness. It reveals so fully who He is in Jesus Christ in doing this. The body is the most fullest expression of the holiness of God. And I think to see this beyond just human understanding, you cannot just read it, or you cannot just practice it in your head and you're going to get it. But I think the love of your neighbor that the Bible talks about throughout the Bible is something that can only be given by God. And we have to ask. I'm just hoping that, you know, love your neighbor is not something you guys say, okay, I gotta love my neighbor, I gotta be more loving. If that's the beginning and end of your love for people, you guys do not get it. But as we know the holiness of God, as that holiness of God brings us to our knees, as we give up our entrails, you know, in worship, in blessing this God, then we will see the greatest expression of worship and love for our God is to love our neighbor. Right, to pour out freely in denial of ourselves what God gives to us. That shows true faith. The faith that God desires, the faith that is pleasing, a pleasing aroma to God. So let's take some time to pray. I wanted to lay down, I guess, this foundation first, you know, as we talk more about the love of loving a neighbor and his various aspects and the rest of the topics we have for the retreat. That we may firmly stand on holy ground, on the holiness of God. May it continue to grow us in awe. And as we grow in this holiness, it should grow in us this passionate love for one another. But if you don't see this coming in your heart, this passionate, joyful love for one another, I think it does show that we're missing something along the way. We're missing something in our relationship with God. We're missing something in knowing what the holiness of God is. Actually, okay. So let's take some time to pray. We meditate on these passages and things we've talked about as the praise team leads us in a responsive song.